Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. Psalms 119:11. If we would not be misled by error and falsehood, the heart must be preoccupied with truth. The word of God will furnish the mind with weapons of divine power to vanquish the enemy. Happy is the man who, when tempted, finds his soul rich in the knowledge of the scripture, who finds shelter beneath the promises of God. Thy word, said the psalmist, have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. The word is to ever be in our hearts and on our lips. It is written, is to be our anchor. Those who make God's word their counselor realize the weakness of the human heart and the power of the grace of God to subdue every unsanctified, unholy impulse. Their hearts are ever prayerful, and they have the guardianship of holy angels. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up for them a standard against him. There is harmony in the heart, for the precious, powerful influence of truth bears sway. The Word of God is a channel of communication with the living God. He who feeds upon the Word will become fruitful in all good works. He will be the discoverer of rich mines of truth, which he must work to find a hidden treasure. When surrounded with temptation, the Holy Spirit will bring to his mind the very words with which to meet the temptation at the very moment when they are most needed, and he can use them effectively. We must be better acquainted with our Bibles. We might close the door to many temptations if we would commit to memory passages of Scripture. Let us hedge up the ways to Satan's temptation with, it is written. He shall meet with conflict to test our faith and courage, but they will make us strong if we conquer through the grace Jesus is willing to give. But we must believe. We must grasp the promises without a doubt.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, if there was ever a time, Father, we need to know what is written, the time is now. As we continue the signs being fulfilled all around by Jesus, we pray that this day will be one that will help us to open our eyes to the things that are being quickly fulfilled right before our eyes. As we begin this new study today, we join people today, Father, on the secret rapture, truth, fiction, or fact. Let the message be go forward, Father, clear, crystal clear, that your people be drawn to the foot of the cross this day in the regeneration of looking at your witness in the right way that you put in your word for us to see where we are in its history. And in times to be no more, Father, we pray we, along with our family members and friends, be prepared to meet you in the clouds of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome all of our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those who might be listening to us for the first time. Our topic this evening is the secret rapture, truth, fiction, or fact. The program this afternoon will also take a different turn, because once again we are preparing for our second live call-in show for this year, which will be on June the 12th from 8 to 10 p.m. That is June the 12th. From 8 to 10 p.m. and we will be discussing the rapture live and on the same station, 1540. If you have any questions or comments, you can call us right now at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And you can also find us on our website, where most of our programs are online, those past programs, and also tips on health and how to live healthy and how to cook healthy and other topics that we find very interesting through our studies that we believe that the Bahamian people need to see. Our website is www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to Turning Point, you can listen to us by logging on to www.znsbahamas.com. Now, like I said earlier, our program is going to take a little different turn this afternoon, so there'll be no health segment. We will get straight into our topic this afternoon, that is, the secret rapture, truth, fiction, or fact. But before we get into our question, we are going to let Brother Paul give us an update of what has happened so far in Turning Point.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. We are happy to be coming into your homes or into your cars, wherever you are today, relaxing on this day that most people consider a day of rest off from work. Once again, we are actually to pay attention to this program that we're going to begin today. It's going to be one that is going to be very informative, and it's going to be one that is going to maybe rub you the wrong way, but remember sometimes the truth comes to not really rub us the wrong way to make us be offended, but sometimes it challenges us to go a little bit deeper in our research to see that the things will be shared today if they are true or not. Because remember Jesus says he will send the truth, and this truth that he will send to us will set us free. So today we hope and pray that whatever is shared will be one that will draw us closer to a full understanding of what is going on in Earth's history as we speak to you today.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And I just want to let the listening audience know that we also have Brother Renrick, who is now a regular of Turning Point in our studio this afternoon. And like we said earlier, we will be studying The Secret Rapture, Truth, Fiction, or Fact. And our live call-in show will be on June the 12th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Brother Renrick and Brother Paul, my first question to you this afternoon is, what is the meaning of the word rapture?
Well, when I went to the dictionary, Brother Julian, to look up the word rapture from the dictionary says, Christianity, mystical transportation, a mystical experience in which somebody believes he or she into transportation or to get in the way of into the spiritual realm, something applied to the second coming of Jesus when true believers are expecting to raise from the earth to join our Savior in the clouds of heaven. And I agree with that. Amen and amen to that quotation.
The word rapture, is the word rapture itself found in the Bible?
No, Brother Julian, the word rapture is not found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if the only recorded interpretation of the Bible that has the rapture would be the Latin Vulgate, but in the King James Version of the Bible, the original text, in Hebrew manuscripts, Greek manuscripts, the word rapture is not found.
The word rapture is not found in the Bible. The concept of the word rapture is found in the Bible, like I just read just now from the dictionary, when the dictionary is right on, that those people who are looking forward to the second coming of Christ, what the rapture really mean, is be taken away from this earth to heaven for a short period, which would be 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20, and then we return back to this earth. So yes, the rapture itself, the word itself does not appear in any of the Bibles, but the concept is in the Bible, and which we'll see today.
How did this rapture concept begin, and where did it come from?
Well, the rapture concept began, as a matter of fact, when the papacy system recognized that the beast of Revelation 13 and the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 and also some of the other prophecies of the Bible pointed to some of the things that they hold dear to their heart, and also some of the religious reformers like Martin Luther and Wycliffe and Jerome and Huss, when they began to point some of the prophecies saying that these prophecies point to now and not into the future, the papacy system ordered a meeting which is known as the Council of Trent. And this took place in the area of north of Rome called Trent, and is known throughout history as the Council of Trent. So today I'll ask you maybe to go to your computers or do a little research on what happened at the Council of Trent. And what they did at the Council of Trent, they were ordered by the Pope at that time, Pope Paul III, and he ordered them to do some research on how they can see if they can move this stigma away from what it really was. And the gentleman who was in charge of trying to put this thing together, try to put the rapture into the distant future after the church is raptured, his name is Francisco Ribera. And what he came up with, he said, yes, all the concepts are true. Yes, there would be tribulation. Yes, there would be rapture and all these sorts of stuff. He said, but the true purpose of the Antichrist system and the mark of the beast system and all these things will not come until the church is raptured. And this is known through history as the futurism theory. And this is when it all took place. And this took place during the year 1537 to 1591. This is when, for how long Francisco lived. And this took place during that time period when they decided to meet, like I said, during the time known as the Council of Trent.
And Brother Julian, if you also take a look back in history, we would find that the reason that the Council of Trent and Francisco Ribera came up with this theory was to counter the work that the Lord was doing through the reformers. For hundreds of years, the Bible was taken out of the hands of common man. People were not allowed to read the scriptures. They were just instruction that came from the Bible would have to be interpreted by the priest or someone high up in the church, and then that interpretation was then passed on to man. And that was mixed and mingled with so much tradition that there was a lot of blindness and lack of God's word within the world. So the Lord revealed to one of the reformers called Martin Luther, revealed to him that the way to salvation is not through works, not through what we would do, but through righteousness by faith. And after that, some history also shows that the work of the reformers continued, that the Bible was translated in many different languages, and the work of this translation and the work of the Holy Spirit spread like wildfire throughout the world. And people started believing in the Bibles and turning away from tradition. And as men continued to study the scriptures on their own, they realized that the persecution that had come upon them because of the church at that day was actually foretold in Bible prophecy, and this was the Antichrist system that was persecuting the people during the world. And as a counter to this, to the work of the reformers, the Council of Trent and like we said, Francisco Ribera came up with the futurism theory that took all the prophecies in the Bible and pushed them down to the end of time. Came up with the secret rapture theory to turn away the blistering comments from the reformers that prophecy was being fulfilled and the man of sin was really here and persecuting them now. And that was really why the secret rapture theory was concocted, to take the heat off of the church of that time.
Now, what did the early Christian church believe in terms of the rapture and the secret rapture?
What the early church believe is what the Bible says. They believe in the prophecy which Jesus told them, but it's found in Matthew chapter 24, that all these things must first take place before the end should come. And Matthew 24 will be a good chapter for our listeners to study today and through the rest of the remainder of the week until our show next week, God's willing. And what they discovered, that if we go on by the Bible and the Bible only, then the concept that Jesus hold dearly to, like as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But they also hold dear to their heart, which was recorded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "But we should sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for the reason hope that be within us with meekness and fear." Now, the problem with the secret rapture theory and the church being raptured before the tribulation is no one has never came to us yet with any scriptures to back up their theory. And the scriptures that you do use, which we'll use in further programs, are scriptures that they take out of context. And as you continue to read that chapter, that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through to verse 20, you will discover that the disciple Peter also discovered that how the Lord used to know how to preach in the days of his day, he's using that same spirit to preach his people today. And what you discover in the days of Noah was judgment came to an end for those people in the days of Noah when the ark door was closed. There was no second chance for them. And once the door was shut, their judgment, their probation, you might say, came to an end. But the reality of their probation being closed, or the reality of probation being closed for those people in that day, was actually when the rain began to fall. And we realized the Bible was clear when Noah told him it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. It's recorded in the Bible prophecy today that it actually did rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And even today, they are still looking for the ark. That's Noah's ark they are looking for. And who knows, maybe in some time, if it is the Lord's will, he will reveal it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for us to follow the scriptures. The Bible is quite clear that as was in the days of Noah, as was in the days of Lot, God will send warnings to his people. And once the warning is sent forward, there will not be a second chance. There will be nothing secret about it, because the Lord is quite clear that he will not do anything unless he reveals his secrets to his servant, the prophets.
Brother Paul, Brother Renre, my next question is, does the Bible teach us that one group of people will be taken away when he comes a second time, and then the next group will have another chance?
No, the Bible does not teach this, Brother Julian. In fact, if I'll ask our listeners, as we always do, we ask our listeners to make a note of the scriptures that we quote. You know, write them down for yourselves and research them for yourselves, because the Bible is clear that the scriptures do not speak of a second chance after Christ returns. Okay, the time for us to change our heart and get our lives in order and surrender all to Christ is now. And I'll ask our listeners to make a note of these texts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And that tells us that when Christ returns, that the wicked will be destroyed. That those that are not in Christ, that are those that are not clothed with the righteousness of Christ, they will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. There's no second chance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. There's no second chance. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. There's no second chance. Luke chapter 17, verse 27, just like the days of Noah. When Noah entered into the ark, the door of the ark was shut. When that door of the ark was shut, ladies and gentlemen, the door of the ark was not opened again for people to come back in. So there was no second chance after that door was shut. Same way it will be when Christ comes. when he comes, there'll be no holding back of judgment for people to say, okay, I'm going to get saved now that I know that he's really coming. The time for us to get saved, the time for us to surrender all to Christ is now, just like the days of Lot. When Lot and his wife and his children exited out of the city, there was no second chance for those people in the city. The door of mercy was shut. The door of probation was shut. And the same thing Christ is telling us that it'll be when his second coming. When he comes, that's it. Judgment will be poured out at his coming.
And another tobacco board, Brother Renwick, said that the wicked will be struck down with the brightness of his coming. There's an old prophecy statement in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25 verse 33. And this is what it says. And the slain of the Lord shall be from in that day from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, meaning that they should not be sorry for what took place. Why? Neither should they be gathered to be buried. Why? Because there'll be no one here to bury them. Everyone will be dead. And the Bible said they'd be as dung upon the ground. That's Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 33. The Bible is quite clear that they will not be lamented, meaning they will have no there will be no one to feel sorry or regret what took place. They'll be dung, bodily waste upon the earth, for no one to bury them. Because according to Revelation chapter 20, there'll be a 1,000 years upon the earth awaiting the return of Christ's second coming. You will also remember that some texts that we use in Christianity today, texts like, "Today, if you hear my voice," said Jesus, "harden not your heart. Today I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, if you hear me, open up the door and I will come in." There's no text saying that tomorrow is a day of salvation. Was there a day of tomorrow for the days and the days of Noah? No. Was there a second day for the days of people and the days of Lot? No. And the same way how it will be for us, the same judgment that came upon them when they have probation, the same judgment will be for us here on planet Earth. And the thing about it is, if there's going to be a second chance for those who are supposedly going to be left behind after the secret rapture, that means God is a respecter of person. That means God is giving some other people an opportunity to be saved when those who went on before them, who died before them, didn't have an opportunity. Remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did then, he's going to do when he returns the second time. Don't let's get caught up. Let's go to the Bible for our answers. And that scripture again, they tell you that there'll be no one here alive during the second, that when the Christ leave, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 33. That's Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 33. There'll be no one here to bury them. Amen. So let's study those scriptures, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen, Brother Paul. Let's go back to our Bibles again. Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day, not the day after, not 5 days later, the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. These are the words of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Not the words of Turning Point Ministries, but the words of Christ. Amen.
Well, when Christ comes a second time, will his coming be secret or silent and no one will know? Or would everyone know? And would it be expected when Christ comes a second time?
Brother Julian, again, we go back to the scriptures, and the scriptures confirm that his coming will not be secret, it will not be silent, but it will be the most awesome event that this world, that the universe has ever witnessed. And the scriptures confirm this clearly for us in multiple places. Mark chapter 13, verse 26, it says, "And then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory." Isaiah 66, verse 15, "For behold, the Lord should come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flames of fire." Luke chapter 17, verse 24, For as the lightning that lighteth go out of one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so also the Son of Man be in his day. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen.
Well, the back of what Brother Renwick says, we should turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. It says, "And then the heavens shall depart as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every island and every mountain shall be moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rock of the mountain, saying unto the rocks among the fallen us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and the Lamb of the wrath. For the great wrath of our God has come, and who shall be able to stand?" And ladies and gentlemen, we know based on Revelation chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 3. The only people that will be able to stand, the only people that are going to come out of the grave in the first resurrection are going to be those who have overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They are going to be the ones who are going to stand. So it's going to be a magical event. It's going to be so miraculous and so dynamic that the rich men, the mighty men, according to verses 15 of Revelation chapter 6, are going to beg for the rocks and mountains. But they're not going to beg for it, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to get exactly what they're deserving of. Apparently, they knew what the outcome would have been. And just like they cried for it, believe it's going to fall on them. But the pain is not going to be long-lived, because they're going to be struck down with the brightness of Christ coming, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Does the Bible teach that the rapture of the saints and him coming, does the Bible teach that it be two separate events, or this happens at the same time?
No, the rapture of the saints is going to be the same time as the rapture. The rapture of the saints and the rapture is the same thing. And who are the saints? The saints are those, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. The saints are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. If you're not keeping the commandments of God, then you're not a saint. God look at you as a liar, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He said, anyone who breaks his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you are outrightly breaking any of the commandments, according to James 2:10, if you break one, you break all, you are not a saint. Does Christ want you to be a saint? Well, of course. He's going to go over and beyond to make sure that you are a saint. But if you reject being a saint, the sad reality would be, not only for you, but also for us, if we should turn our eyes on this wonderful truth that God has sent to us.
And we can also look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, and it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ once offered to bear sins of many, and unto them that took him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Now, there are some people who teach about the saints being raptured before tribulation or before the implementation of the mark of the beast. I think there are many movies that have been in the last year or two. Many movies have come out about this topic, and many books have been written. Now, does the Bible teach that the believer or the saints would be removed before the implementation of tribulation or the mark of the beast?
The Bible does not teach that, Brother Julian. And once again, we urge our readers to turn to your scriptures, search your scriptures, study your scriptures daily. Don't look to the wisdom of man. Don't look to Hollywood for your answers, because the Bible also tells us that there'll be much deception in the world, especially in this last time. Let's turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 20. And it says, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, which whom he has chosen, he had shortened those days. Why does he have to shorten those days for the elect's sake if the elect are not here? You know, if the saved are going to be removed before the tribulation begins, then what's the point of shortening those days? The days are going to be shortened because his people, he doesn't want them to be totally wiped out or destroyed by the wickedness that's going on in this world. So the Bible teaches that the saints, the believers, are going to be in this world, are going to be in the earth, and we will suffer persecution and tribulation before Christ comes.
I think of what a lot of people are afraid of the mark of the beast is they don't want to hold on the promises that are written in God's words that are for his people. And that's why David assures us that we must study the word of God, that we will not be able to sin against God. And then David says, once again, that great peace of them that love God's law and nothing should offend them. And David also backs it up in Psalms chapter 91. I'm actually going to read the whole of Psalms chapter 91 to you and your family today, maybe for even in devotions, where in that chapter it talks about no harm will come nigh our dwelling. Our bread and our water will be sure. That's Psalms chapter 91. All the pestilence and all these things will not be affected us. Because, you know, during the time of the mark of the beast, we will also have the falling of the seven last plagues in Revelation chapter 16. So there are going to be a lot of things happening during the time of the mark of the beast. But the good news for the Christians is they have no need to fear. God will protect his own. Like he did in the past, he will do even then. And even if it means you and I should lose our life for the cause of Christ, remember Christ said he will be with us, even as he went with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he surely will do for all.
And, you know, again, we'd ask our listeners to ask yourselves a few questions. Was Noah taken out of the world during the flood, or was he protected from the wrath of God?
Through the flood. Amen.
Was Lot taken out of the world when the fire came down and destroyed Sodom?
No, he was not.
Okay. And so, again, the scriptures confirm this. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must go through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 24, verse 6, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Why do we have to endure to the end, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be taken out of the way before all this stuff starts to happen? You know, let's just study our scripture again and let the Holy Spirit be our guide and not the wisdom of men.
I think the reason why a lot of people are afraid, Brother Julian and Brother Randall, is because they've been watching some movies that have been sharing some wrong concepts based on what the Bible interpretation is. Movies like The Left Behind. Do you know this Left Behind movie was financially supported or financially paid off by some of our prominent religious leaders? I'm going to name two of them that you might be familiar with. Jack Van Empe, have you ever heard about him? And Pastor John Higgy. These men dumped funds into the Left Behind movie, and they are becoming multi-millionaires of a concept that is not true. You know, these men might be doing this in England, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you might be friendly with these men, and you might have an opportunity to sit down and let them know that if they should go on the website, like we said earlier, and do a research on the teaching of the what happened at the Council of Trent, maybe, who knows, these men might be powerful preachers of righteousness, telling people that they have been misled and putting things out there into the public eyes for people to see. Like today we have the Da Vinci Code that should have started on Friday past. The Da Vinci Code is another fiction movie that's going to cause a lot of people to be deceived. And that's why we tell you a turning point. Whatever movie you watch, like Brother Julian read to you when we had our call-in show a few Monday nights ago, that judge it based on the principle in Philippians. Whatever things are true, whatsoever things are just. He also mentioned in the book of Psalms 102, where David said, he put no evil thing before our eyes. And the book of Revelation says that all those who make a lie or who believe a lie will have no part in the kingdom of heaven.
Brother Paul, Brother Henry, I think we have maybe one or two, enough time for maybe one or two more questions. So here we go. What is it that has us so convinced that these things will take place before Christ's return?
Well, Christ again confirmed what the days would be like before he came. He said that just like in the days of Noah and just like in the days of Lot, it would be just like that today before he returns. He says that there'll be wars and rumors of wars in Matthew. He says that these will just be the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet come. So the Bible tells us that before Christ comes, there are going to be some pretty awful things that are going to take place in this world. There are going to be wars, there are going to be persecutions by man, and then God's judgment is going to be poured out. The plagues are going to fall. All of these things are going to take place before Christ comes.
And what I've been so convinced, Brother Julian, is that if we should just go to our Bibles, like we said earlier, the mark of the beast, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 and 10, must take place. The seven last plagues, according to Revelation chapter 16, must take place. There will be uniting of the church and state, coming together, according to Revelation chapter 13. We also see the manifestation in a full effect of the man of sin, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last but not least, we'll also see the sealing of God's people, according to Revelation chapter 7. These things must take place. And when these things have taken place, then he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry.
Just to wrap up, Brother Paul and Brother Henry, could you just give us a closing comment for maybe 15 seconds?
Ladies and gentlemen, our challenge to you today is search the Word of God. The Bible is quite clear that we must hide the Word of God in our hearts that we may not sin against Christ. And the Bible also tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is part of for doctrine for reproof and correction, that the man of God, the children of God may be made perfect.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we'd just like to again encourage you to read your scriptures, study them prayerfully and carefully on a daily basis, and be not afraid, because the same Christ that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through in the fire, the same Christ that was with Daniel in the lion's den, is the same Christ that will be with us during this end of time.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for another opportunity to come before you. Lord, once again, we might have heard some things that have been difficult to understand. But Lord, as we've been saying throughout this program, we ask the people, give them the power and the strength to go and study the scripture to see if these things were true. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Renrick Bow.
And this is Julie Miller. May the peace of God be with you.
You have been